She is a best-selling author, and she is a world-renowned spiritual teacher. Are you ready? In person, please welcome Sylvia Brown. Yeah.
So good to be here tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about something that's been on everybody's mind for so long. It's sort of like, it isn't a fad, I don't mean that, but it's funny how things will ebb and flow. During the Renaissance period, during biblical times, angels were very in. Then all of a sudden angels went out. It's strange because if you look or read about any religion, biblical works of Mohammedan, works of Buddha, you will find that every religion has angels, or what they call the spiritual messengers. The one thing that people get so confused about is spirit guides versus angels. Now, why is it important to know the difference? Well, I think it's like anything else. If you're going to call on someone, then for God's sake, at least know who you're calling on. You know. My guide said to me many, many years ago that we're not distinctive enough with what we want. You know, we run around, as I have, as you have, and say, help me. Help you what? See, because you wrote your own chart, so in writing your own chart, and I know you don't like to hear that, I don't like to hear it either, but it's true. You wrote this stupid chart. Now, were we drunk? I don't know. Something. Something was going on. Stupid, drunk, maybe smart, who knows. But when we were on the other side, there were, the same as you and I have been, there were physical entities. Incarnate, which means can be into flesh, that are guides. So the chances of you and I being a guide is probably 100%. Because when we go back, we'll be guides to someone, or we have been. We do roundabout. And you have to be trained to be a guide. People always say, but I thought my guide was my uncle, my grandmother, my... What? No, they have to be over there training specifically for you totally. And that's why when you say to somebody, your guide's named, you know, Peter, what, they go, I don't know who that is. Of course you don't. You know who it is on the other side because you chose the person chose you. So it can't be one of, well, your relatives come and they stand around you in a very protective way. It's just like, my father's gone, I have many people that are gone. But they come around as protectorates. They're not the guide, because don't you see how illogical that would be? You would be all this time without anybody watching over you. And that's not a possibility. What, you have to wait till your grandmother dies before you get help? That doesn't make sense. Oh, I thought my grandfather was my guide. Well, then who was there before? No. Sometimes I'm told that guides will train for what we call in our time hundreds of years to know how to communicate. The guides are the ones that are made flesh, come into life, go back out of life, come into life, the same as you. I bet you there isn't one person in this room that has not been a guide or will be. Don't you want to be a guide to your guide? And not help them like we felt like we weren't helped. They do help us. I shouldn't say that. But sometimes my guide says to me, She's a virtual fountain of knowledge for everybody else. And I ask her, and she says, oh, everything will be all right. What does that mean? You can die and everything's all right, or whatever. Or be in limbo and everything's all right. Now, the angels are a different phylum. They are all look alike. They have different colored skin, but they're all tall, they're all beautiful, and they all are from the same phylum. They never come down into life. They never become flesh. And it goes like this. There are angels, there are archangels, there is the cherubim, the seraphim, there are thrones and principalities. The amazing thing about it is the principalities, according to theologians and people that have had a lot of mystical experiences, that the principalities are probably the highest form of angels. These are what we call God's army. We always think of the archangel. Saint Michael the archangel, defend us in the battle. That's fine. But when you really get in bad shape, ask for the principalities. There we go again with the help. Help you what? Who help you? I mean, when you have something that goes wrong, don't you want to go to the supervisor? Don't you want to go to the CEO? Does that mean you don't go to God? Of course not. But you've got all these wonderful minions. And I really hate that word minions is used for like stupid devil stuff. That's dumb anyway. The minions of all the marvelous entities. Cherubim, seraphim, thrones, archangels, and your guide. So I don't care how depressed you get and how alone you feel. You are not. And you say to me, as I've said, well then, if they're really there, why don't they help me more? I don't know how I can explain to you how miserable your life would be if they weren't there. And how much you could have died, how much you didn't make it. You mean to tell me that you haven't had an experience in a car or whatever, and you say, phew, what kind of a close call was that? Where it became almost unreal. What saved me? Your angels, your guides. Can they give you a message? Yes, but more times than not, when the angels came down in the Bible or wherever, more times than not, these were guides. I don't think the angels care, but you never hear of angels speaking like your guides will. So people say, I don't hear my angels. Well, it's hard when they don't speak. Do they have a form of telepathy? Absolutely. But who you really can hear is your guide. Now, here's what people get away really cranky about. I don't hear any voices. Well, when you do, you have to go to the doctor. You know, there's medicine for that. It's like people that see auras. Go get your eyes checked. What's wrong with you? You say, oh, I see your aura. Well, you really have an optic nerve damage. Serious. Go see someone. People say, do you see auras? I said, I hope not. You feel them, though, don't you? You can feel somebody's aura. Somebody can sit next to you and go, ooh, you know. Or somebody sits next to you and you think, I love this person. That, what do you think you're feeling? The aura. You're feeling the electrical emanation from this person. Now, I had to show you, I've always said to my people, whenever you think you know everything, then you should be put out to pasture anyway. But for years and years, I said to people, angels don't have wings, so forget it. I was over at my son's house, Christopher, my psychic son. And because I don't want anybody to think this, but I'm really what they term as an insomniac, but I don't care because I think sleeping is disgusting anyway. I mean, there's nothing else to do, right? I mean, if you're 30 years old and you've slept 8 hours a night, you've been asleep 10 years. And figure up bathroom time. You've probably been alive about 2 weeks. That's not a lot of fun. Not a lot of fun. So anyway, I'm on the way to the kitchen to get a drink of water. And they have a big foyer, and it's very high ceiling. And I'm walking through, and I'm not visual. I am visual. I can see spirits. I can see ghosts. But I choose not to walk around through this world viewing all this because I have to live in this world. I mean, if I want to tune in, I can. I couldn't when I was younger. It was very much like that girl that was just on TV with me. I felt such empathy. What was it, yesterday or sometime? And she was having such a hard time with what she saw. So I'm walking through the foyer. And I look up, and there is an angel standing. There's about maybe 30 or 40 inch ceiling in the foyer. And this angel has gone all the way up to the top with giant silver wings. First thing, I was blown away by the size, and then I said to myself, damn, he's got wings. So there's people running around saying, Sylvia said angels don't have wings. Now here I am. Because I thought, how stupid. Why do they have to have wings when they can think themselves anywhere? And I said to my guide, okay, now, all right, I give up. What's the wing business? And she said, it's almost like a badge of their, let's say, hierarchy. And I said, what's the silver wings? And she said, that's an archangel. So I guess it's sort of like their uniform. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you get higher up, put on the gold wings, put on the whatever. But he was absolutely beautiful. I mean, I was absolutely stunned by the beauty. You know, you're always taken aback. I don't care how much you're born into this. I don't care how much you know about this. Even with my guide, you still get that. You know, if you can't help it. It's just not normal, as they say. But I was so impressed that this gorgeous archangel was standing in the hallway. And I said, what is this angel doing in the hallway? She said, well, it's because he's protecting. She said, most archangels will stand what they call at the gate of your place and protect you. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to note? And you know, you can never ask for too many. See, here's the stupid thing. We made God into such a vengeful, nasty, cranky God. People say, oh, I've asked God for so much this week. How can I ask for more? Do you think God has a scorecard? Do you think God is humanized? Do you think God cares? God is all loving, all giving. You can never ask for too much. People say, well, the only time I ever talk to God is when I ask. Well, thank God you do something. God doesn't say, I am so sick of hearing from Sylvia. God doesn't say that. You see, the minute we do that, we make an imperfect God. We make a cranky God, a snotty God, a snippy God, a critical God, a vengeful God, a hateful God. None of the above. God is all love, all purity, all knowledge, all forgiveness. And sends his minions of these beautiful creatures to help us. Let me tell you an experience that I had. My secretary at the time was a girl named Amy. And thank God, aren't you glad that you have witnesses to some of the things that happened to you in life? Because you just don't, you know, I don't care who you are, you don't want to tell anybody. We are driving down a road, and I never will forget, she was in a white Rabbit. You know, what is it? You know, like a Volkswagen Rabbit. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this car barreling down on us at a very high speed. You know what you do? You right away, I don't know why we do this, but we do. I braced myself and closed my eyes, waiting for the impact. Because, you know, as I could see it, it was almost my door. All of a sudden, the air got perfectly still. And it was like, I don't know what it was. It was like a time warp. The next thing I know, You know, when your ears plug up, that funny feeling like it's far away and distant. And I looked up, and the car is there. So, of course, I say to myself, we're dead. And because I do know that people die and they don't know they're gone. I mean, the impact comes and they're like, well, you know, so I thought, okay, I'll get out of the car, which kind of ticked me off because I had opened the door. And I thought, well, if I'm a spirit, it's kind of aggravating. Literally, and look back to see if my body was there. And she is, at the time, I'm not paying that much attention, she's doing the same thing. She looks at me and she says, what happened? And then we notice the car is at an absolute 180-degree angle of where we were going, because we were going this way and it's like this. And I said to her, please, let's not do anything right now. Let's write down our experience so we do not suggest to each other. I said, let's get back in the car, get a piece of paper, and write down exactly what we went through. Because, you know, people can be very suggestible. We wrote down the exact same thing. She saw it coming. I saw it coming. So I said to my guide, you know, of course you know, but you want to be validated. What the hell happened? She said, have you ever heard the term, what our Lord says, and your angels will bear you up? See, no one can tell me from that point on, not only did I always not believe in miracles, of course I believe in miracles. That means that no matter what your chart says, there can be interception from God. Nothing is set in granite. Certainly you're going to live through a lot of horrible things, and you're going to go through loss and rejection and pain and suffering. We all do, because if you don't, what do you learn in this life? Tell me anybody in here that's had a perfect life. I want to see your hand. Good. No aliens. Does that mean I don't love my life? Of course not. I love life. Do I think it's been a barrel of fun? No. But this is the thing. What made me so assured of this is that there is, of course, there's a God, but also time can stop. And there, this world is an unreality anyway, and it's movable. Time can lapse. Time can be elongated or shortened. See, every psychic, true psychic, knew what Einstein's theory of relativity was. Is that all things go to the now, to the ultimate. Time is relative. See, on the other side, there's no time. That's why people are so worried when their loved one leaves. Why aren't they suffering? Because they're not with them. Because there's no time to them. You see, if somebody goes, like a husband, a father, a sister, a child, they're not grieving because to them, even though you're going to live to be, what, 80, 90, it's like 2 days to them. So don't ever think that your angels can't bear you up, because they can. But I think it's very important to ask for. You say, well, why wouldn't they come anyway? Because I think it's very important that we get spiritual enough that we connect with God to make it happen. Because that strengthens the core, don't you see? Is God going to protect us from everything? Of course not, because you wrote the damn contract. It's very much like what our Lord said, didn't he, when he went up to Gethsemane. What did he say? He said, please let me out of this. What did God say back? We don't know the exact words, but we're pretty sure. No. You wrote it. You're going to do it. See, people always say to me, but God doesn't answer my prayer. Yes, God does. God says no. This woman said, I've been praying for this good man to come all my life. He said, well, you didn't have it in your chart. And God said, no, you don't get one. So go get a cat. Or a dog or something. I always, don't you always hate to hear people say, if I don't get the Porsche, or I don't get this man, or I don't get this woman, I'm just going to die? Don't you want to say, do it? Because we're tired of hearing about it. My life just won't be worth it if I don't get that job. Well, then your life wasn't worth very much anyway, man, if that's all it takes. If I don't get back to wherever, I'll just wither up and die. Good. Because you're a mess anyway. We're tired of you around. See, people say, oh, how can you be that glib about death? Because we're all going to do it. Have you figured that one out? Now, you might not have to pay your taxes. Of course, you'll go to jail. But by God, you're going to die. And you're going to graduate and go home. That's the fact. So you can do it either one way or the other. You can make it the best you can. You can be nice about it, or you can be miserable. Because you're going to graduate anyway. Now, do some people graduate with higher honors than others? Yes. It's the ones that don't bitch all the time. See, I think it's marvelous. People say, but that doesn't give you any free will. Yes, it does. You had plenty of free will before you wrote it. Because you were over there writing it. You picked your angels. You picked your guides. They picked you, also in tandem. You picked what you were going to learn. You picked your themes. You picked the hard knocks you were going to go through. You picked your losses. You even picked your body type, which I don't know where I was then. I was playing cards or something. I said, oh, whatever left over. Just, you know, whatever anybody doesn't want, I'll just take that. Just as long as it's 30. You picked your parents, you picked your kids. Oh, doesn't that make you crazy? Your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your birth date. And of course, you see, we do all that because we're happy as clams over it. Would you ever notice why we ever say happy as clams? Did anybody ever open a clam and say, yeah, so what? Anyway, we're happy. And so when you're happy, you check all the boxes. I know what we do. Oh, sure, give me four of those and three of those and a rotten mother and a lousy couple of husbands. I don't care. Just give me that. Then we get down here and we say, no. I really don't want to do that. That's why it just makes me crazy when people say, have you ever looked in a baby's eyes? You see eternity. And your guides are there at the very moment your soul enters the mother's body. The angels are there at the very moment of conception. You're there. Now, it is true that some entities do not come in right away. I found that some entities come in very early on and some entities don't come in till later. I apparently went through a regression because I would never do a regression on anybody unless I'd been regressed. But I had many, many years of hypnosis training long before it was the in thing to do. And I remember a Dr. Royal hypnotized me, and I had come into in utero very early, and I was bored. Well, can you imagine? What do? File your nails, and there's no TV, there's no nothing. But you took the choice to come down. Now, this also explains why some souls retract, because, made the wrong choice. It's not the way it turned out to be, or it's not the way it was going to be. And so we miscarry, or we just lose the child, because the soul decides, I'll come in for a short length of time, and then go out. And of course that's a sadness to us. But you see, if you look at it on a scale of many lifetimes, and we have so many lifetimes that we're going to complete at so many hours or days, and when that's done, we go home. Because you see, to us, we always say, they were so young to go. They were so young to die. And then if they're like my father, people said to me, because I missed him so much, I lost him about 3 years ago. My mother, yeah. Oh, no, she would have made a good mate for Manson. I'm telling you, don't have no idea. But I learned how to not to be. And it was a marvelous lesson. I even thanked her before she left. I said, thank you for being the kind of mother you are. But my bubble said, you know, we always have a bubble. Because you were such a mean, rotten bitch, I became the opposite of you. That's what my bubble said. And because I know, one thing I do know, that I was a better mother because of her. Because everything she did, I did the opposite of. I can't honestly say that I would have been as good a mother as I know that I am today if it hadn't been for her example. See, but this is a thing that we all are so worried about, because I used to obsess about this. I said, oh, it's honor thy father and thy mother. And my guide said to me once, yes, if they're honorable. Isn't that wonderful? And if they're not, all bets are off. Isn't that wonderful? I was talking to a woman the other day. She said, you know, I love my son, but I don't like him, and I feel guilty. I said, why? He's very unlovable. But we feel guilty about that, forgetting the fact that not only your angels, your guides, and all these people are there to help you, but you don't necessarily have to love everybody. Don't start with that karma thing. That's that new age, whatever the hell that is. It's my karma to put up with this. No, it isn't. And mothers, especially mothers, if your sons or your daughters are mean and hateful to you, like our Lord says, shake the dust off your feet and walk away. You can always love them, but you don't have to be walked on. No one should walk on you. See, and you say, what are so important about the guides and the spirit guides and the angels? Because they're constantly trying to drum that into you. Not so much the physical protection, that's there. But what they're constantly trying to infuse in your mind is a self-estimation of you. God loves you, God's with you, you really are good, you're doing the right thing, you were so brave to come down here. That's the biggest message. It was so marvelous that I was on a show, it was Art Bell. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Art Bell or not. And he asked me the neatest thing. And you know, after being 63 years in a psychic and 47 years practicing, you think you've heard them all. And he said to me, what is the one singular thing that our angels, our guides, people who've passed want us to know, Sylvia? And immediately, it all condensed for me. I said that they exist. That is the one singular thing. Yes, they can rap and knock and twirl and blink and whatever. But the one singular thing that they want to convey is they're only one little breath away from you. You see, they're on another vibrational level that is exactly on top of us, 3 feet up off the ground. Right where we are sitting, there is a huge library on the other side, with people coming and going and reading and talking. You say, well, how can that be when I'm sitting here? Because we are on a lower vibrational level. See, we used to always think heaven was up here, didn't we? Always praying up here to God. When God is lateral, God is here, all over. You know where it came from, and I know you're going to think, oh my, she's got into the X-Files, but it really came from the fact that there were UFOs, and of course God came from heaven then. Anything that landed from the sky had to be God. That's where it originally came from.
This concludes Side A. Please stop the tape and turn it over to continue the program on the other side.